Scriptural basis for these thoughts comes from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the first of two, as has the scriptural basis for a couple of other sermons in Advent. 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak in the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. For faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. And now we have all four of the Advent candles lit, encircling the Christ candle, which we will light tonight. The emotions and feelings of Advent come to fruition on the Sunday of Love, which, as I've said many times and in other ways, is sort of the sum of all feelings. The greatest of these is love, encompassing all of the rest. So these thoughts this morning revolve around the idea that Addie and I talked about a little while ago, that is taking care of these wonderful gifts, the stewardship of love, the care and feeding, the stewardship of God's gift, the stewardship of love. I say this almost confessionally. I own no guns and have three power tools, two of which do not work. Which I get a lot of when people know that or know the character behind it. You ain't from around here, are you? Obviously not. And I worry sometimes that when I go on vacation and have to come back into Texas, they will stop me at the border and look in my trunk. You got those guns and tools yet? Apparently not. And part of why at least two of the three don't work is that I don't take very good care of things that in many ways frighten and intimidate me, because you know that when you buy a skill saw or a drill or a sander or something like that, somewhere in the box, in addition to the instructions and the warnings and all, there's a little container of machine oil with the instructions that from time to time and every now and then a couple of drops into, and then they have this little drawing about here's where the machine oil goes. Well, in my house, the machine oil, the box, the instructions, and the warnings all go in the trash, and I try to figure it out. Not a good thing. But the point is, there are little things that you can do in the care of and the tending to complicated, volatile, dangerous things, like, by metaphor, relationships. What is it about the nature of our life together that is so much better and, in fact, is the result of good stewardship, that from time to time we tend to, you know, a little drop of machine oil in the relationship here and there works wonders, and they last much longer, and they work much better, etc. Well, what are these things? I think that one of the ways that we can continue to be good stewards of this gift of love, especially in the relationships we have with the people that love us the most, and I actually heard this as a definition of love one time. Love is how you spend your time and your money. Any close relationship actually is sort of the third person in a triangle. Each of the two people involved also generate and together become sort of us, whatever that is, a close friendship, a spousal relationship, parent and child, and lots of other ways. But the spending of time and money is, from the standpoint of people who tell us how to make these things work, it's in the instructions in the box. When resources are short, spend it on us. Spend it on us. Nobody I know, or have I ever talked to at the end of their lives, and I've talked to lots and lots of people who are nearing the end of their lives, nobody ever says, gosh, I wish I'd spent more time at work. Ironically, I heard somebody say the other day that they've got a new retirement plan. That their retirement plan is this, that the last check they ever write bounces. Okay, short of that, I understand legacy and investment and all of that, but it really catches the sentiment, you know, that love is how you spend your time and money. And, you know, and I know that all of us have times in the course of the year where the spending light is green or yellow flashing yellow or flashing red, you know. And in the Christmas season, it's flashing green pretty hard right now. And we'll deal with the fallout of that later. I think that's a good idea. Not without a prudent plan to redress it. But the point is, love is how you spend your time and money. And when resources are scarce, to spend it on the third being, the couple, the usness, the partnership, is good stewardship of love. When Jeannie and I moved to Lubbock, we became sort of the fourth of what was three couples, all of whom I worked with. I worked with the guys in each of these three couples. And we were graciously invited to share some of the experiences that they had had both long prior to us. And I cherish those relationships because in real ways they no longer exist. Of those six people in the three couples, three of them are gone. And in one form or another, at each of the celebrations of their lives, the same story came back where one of the others said, "I'm so glad that the six of us didn't wait to take that Alaskan cruise." You know, and it's just a metaphor for a bucket list kind of a thing. They spent a great deal of money and a significant amount of time cherishing and doing together what they all loved. And the memory of that still gave them strength. So love is how you spend your time and money. And a little bit of time and the prioritizing of money is like a couple of drops of machine oil that tends to and cares for the relationship and this gift of love. So also I think the stewardship of love involves the caring for and tending to our emotions. I've said that love is the sum of all feelings, and we've got the positive ones around the Advent wreath, hope, joy, and peace. But a lot of other ones don't feel quite so good. We are struggling from time to time with, I think, the continuum between arrogance and anger. You know, if I'm feeling especially bad about myself, I can feed that low self-esteem by reading the resumes of other sociologists. I do this, and there's no reason for it, and it's destructive. I go to the website of the Department of Sociology at the University of Wisconsin, or Indiana University, or Harvard, or the University of Chicago, the really top-flight sociology programs, and I read what the people that teach there have done and are still doing, and it makes me miserable. On the other hand, what I've got is reasonable enough. It's given me a good life. So the anger and frustration and the misplaced arrogance, somewhere in between these really difficult emotions, we're sort of forced to deal with the fear. I'm not good enough, and it makes me mad when I think that. Except through an understanding of this gift of love, we do all have ways that we contribute. Without being arrogant about it, without being angry that there isn't more of it, we all have a gift to share. It's the subject of one of the season's most poignant movies, It's a Wonderful Life, you know that story where Jimmy Stewart is informed by the angel of how different and how miserable the lives of people he loves would have been had it not been for him. And it's sort of the same sentiment that is sometimes done on retreats and things like this. There's a values clarification exercise in which people are invited to write their own obituary. And it's the first couple of lines that make the most sense or that are among the most powerful. What is it that you can remember about yourself that others will remember about you? And it's an opportunity to embrace whatever that is. There are always people who do what you do that do it bigger, badder, stronger, or more convincingly. And you've got a leg up on other people who do what you do. But there is an essence about you that does what you do and is who you are that is unique. And, Jimmy Stewart's angel would have the same story about you. And it's worth, you know, a couple of drops of machine oil on your own sense of self to own your unique contribution to life, time, and in this place. The stewardship of love involves the embracing of your gift, and you're part of how love is transmitted. So, time and money, your own sense of self, and in a very practical way, the stewardship of love involves the sharing of, well, it's a line out of a song in the musical Cats, a little token of esteem. Just a little token of esteem with, to, and for one another. A note under the coffee cup. A little piece of chocolate under the pillow. You get the idea. Just a sudden, surprising, little way of telling someone you love and care about that, well, I at least care about you this much today. Just little tokens of esteem are like little drops of machine oil that keep things going. We all know that the people who love us love us, and it goes without saying, but guess what? Say it once in a while. A little drop here, a little drop there. In and amongst the symbols of the Advent wreath is a pink candle, and that pink candle is referred to as the rose candle. It's Rose Sunday. Now, sort of like Away in a Manger, there's a million ways of explaining why it's called Rose Sunday, why it's pink, and why it shows up in the Advent wreath. It doesn't matter. But there's an image behind it. I read the other day that somewhere in the neighborhood of 1 billion, with a B, that's 1,000 million, cut roses are shared as tokens of love in any given year in the United States. That's pretty amazing. 10 million, which is a disproportionate amount, on Valentine's Day. That's sort of a technicolor token of esteem, the rose. But what's behind it is no more profound than the six-year-old who gives you a dandelion. And every one of us have had or seen that experience. And no one that I know of would ever say to the six-year-old with the dandelion and the smile, "Go get a rose, do it right." That would be silly. We don't have it in us to do that. It's the sentiment behind it that we cherish. So I would say in closing that among all of the different ways we can be good stewards of this wonderful gift, through the sharing of our time and money, through the embracing of our gift, if we can hold even for a second the mindset of the child in the dandelion in the company of other people, we will experience and will have come to and through us what is the sum of all feelings? We are loved. We love in return. And we love in the company of good people. Amen.